This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Hundreds of mourners turned out in Tuscola for the funeral of a sheriff's deputy who was shot while trying to stop a crime spree that included a bank standoff in Arcola. 59-year-old Tommy Martin died last Tuesday of the gunshot wounds he suffered to the face and torso on June 21st. At yesterday's funeral, the mourners filed past Martin's squad car draped in black cloth outside Tuscola Community High School. Inside the gym, an honor guard stood by the flag-covered casket, and one entire wall was lined with flowers. Chicagoans William Thompson and Yusef Kareem Brown were charged last week with three counts of first-degree murder and Martin's death. They'd already been charged with attempted murder and more than 40 other crimes. Thompson also faces charges of taking hostages at an Arcola bank. Today, some of the state's top leaders will fly around the state to announce what sort of relief consumers can expect on their electric bills. The media tour comes even while details are still being worked out. Amanda Vinicky explores if the announcement is premature.
The first stop will be in Peoria. Illinois Senate President Emil Jones, House Speaker Mike Madigan, and Attorney General Lisa Madigan will then go to Decatur, Cahokia, Marion, and Quincy to discuss what's included in an electric rate relief package that has been months in the making. Early word is that Commonwealth Edison and Ameren customers will be getting $1 billion worth of rate reductions over the next 4 years. But despite the hype, the package still isn't finalized. As of late last week, Senate President Jones could only say the deal is pretty close.
It's being put together, but it's not completed as of yet, so, you know.
The General Assembly will have to approve at least a portion of the deal at some point, potentially this week. But it's unclear if there's enough support for it, especially as many lawmakers have yet to even see the legislation. It's also unclear how much the relief will mean in actual dollars, and if it will be enough for families who struggled to pay power bills that in some cases tripled over the winter. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Also, as part of the deal, Ameren, ComEd, and their parent companies will put money toward environmental causes and assistance for low-income customers, and they've agreed to the creation of a new state agency that could eventually build its own power plants. As part of a possible plan to save Northern Illinois' transportation system from making massive cutbacks, downstate public transit may also see extra cash. A proposal to infuse more than $450 million into the Chicago area's CTA, Metra, and PACE relies on raising the sales tax in only the six metropolitan counties served by the transit systems. That way, riders who use the buses and trains would be responsible for paying for their upkeep. But the state is also being asked to pitch in and give more money. Downstate lawmakers, whose votes will be needed to pass the legislation, say if Chicago is getting more funds, Central and Southern Illinois transit should too. That includes Representative Dan Reitz, a Democrat from Steelville, who says the needs downstate are more modest, but they still exist.
A lot of that is infrastructure, just trying to make sure that they have the buses necessary to transport, especially handicapped people, but have the transportation needs to just try to move people back and forth and to try to set up more of a network and grow into the needs that we have in our areas.
Barbara Flynn Curry, a Democrat from Chicago, says she hopes lawmakers will have a statewide perspective on the issue.
Downstate depends upon the success of the economic engine that is northeastern Illinois. So if you're talking about funding for your schools, when things collapse in the northeastern part of the state, the collapse has a trickle-down effect that is real.
Negotiations are ongoing. Downstate lawmakers are set to meet with those leading the transit talks this week. The halftime shows at Illini football games this year will resemble previous shows, but one thing will be missing, Chief Illini Weck. The U of I has decided that the new halftime show will look a lot like it did before. Marching band members will play the 3-in-1 music and form the letters ILLINI on the field. But there will be no Chief Illiniwek dancing around the field. The school shelved the mascot earlier this year after decades of debate over whether it was a racist symbol or an honored tradition. U of I Chancellor Richard Herman said he made the decision to stick with the familiar halftime shows after consulting with a number of people, including former chiefs and faculty and staff on campus. Herman says the university has no plans for a new mascot or symbol. Barack Obama wants to hear about the challenges facing rural communities. The Democratic presidential candidate plans a rural policy summit in Iowa in mid-August. It will focus on rural economic development and quality of life issues. He'll also focus on the agriculture and renewable energy policy. In a telephone interview on Friday with the Associated Press, the Illinois senator said residents of rural communities and non-rural communities face many of the same problems, but there are some unique issues that must be addressed, like spotty rural broadband and wireless coverage and underfunded community colleges. Some of his Democratic rivals have released plans for rural development. Purdue University President France Cordova says she'll spend much of her first year on the job working on a strategic plan for the university. That plan will replace the 7-year plan put in place by her predecessor, Martin Jeschke, who stepped down July 15th. Cordova says she'll likely appoint a committee in September to research Purdue's needs and present a new plan a year from now. Cordova mentioned several issues she believed would be important in the new plan, including increased funding for research, increasing diversity on campus, and controlling student debt. She also wants to decrease the average classroom size and increase scholarships and financial aid. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Those who hope to be admitted to the Illinois Bar take the bar examination this week. Commentator Amy Guida explains that what seems to be routine to would-be attorneys today wasn't always that way. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Would-be attorneys who'd like to practice law in Illinois take the bar examination this week. They'll answer essay and multiple choice questions in an attempt to show bar examiners that they know the law well enough to be allowed to practice in Illinois courts. It's relatively easy. Graduate from law school, pass the requisite bar exam, pass the character and fitness inquiry, pass a professional responsibility exam, and you'll be admitted to the practice of law in the state of your choice. But it didn't used to be that easy for about half of the population, namely the women who would be lawyers. Consider this language. The natural and proper timidity and delicacy which belongs to the female sex evidently unfits it for many of the occupations of civil life and the constitution of the family organization, which is founded in the divine ordinance as well as in the nature of things, indicates the domestic sphere as that which properly belongs to the domain and function of womanhood. And this, the law of the Creator mandates that the paramount destiny and mission of women are to fulfill the noble and benign offices of wife and mother. That's not language from an old religious text. That's a quote from a United States Supreme Court opinion, the writing of a justice joined by two other justices concurring that women should properly be excluded from the practice of law. The year was 1872, and Myra Bradwell had applied to the justices of the Illinois Supreme Court asking to be admitted to the Illinois bar. She had all the right qualifications and good character, but the highest court in Illinois refused to certify her. Married women, it explained, could not be lawyers because once they married, they merged into their husbands and no longer stood as a separate person with a separate identity. Therefore, they could not be a party to a contract and could not effectively represent clients. God, the justices wrote, designed the sexes to occupy different spheres, and men made, applied, and executed the laws. Mrs. Bradwell took her case to the United States Supreme Court, and the justices there upheld the Illinois Supreme Court ruling. A Wisconsin case the next year went the same way. That court wrote that the profession of law was inconsistent with the sacred duties of the female gender, and that women were too gentle, susceptible, impulsive, and pure to become lawyers. Now, sure, things aren't completely wonderful today for women in the practice of law. The American Bar Association Legal Practice Management Section reports that only around 17% of partners at law firms are women, as one example. But we've come a long way from the days when justices on the Illinois Supreme Court looked to England for guidance and wrote that a proposition that a woman should enter the courts would have created hardly less astonishment than one that she should be elected to a seat in the House of Commons. I'd love to be the one to introduce those jurists to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Nancy Pelosi. I'd also like to introduce them to the hundreds of women who sit this week for the Illinois Bar Examination and who in October will be sworn into the practice of law in the state of Illinois. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region today, expect sunny skies with a high around 82 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the low around 58. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 85. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low 62. Wednesday's high around 85 with mostly sunny skies. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.